Tabletopped will start after the following messages.
What if music was magic? Against the Gloom is a fantasy TTRPG about punk pirate troubadours fighting back against a bleak world, one gig at a time. From Scripted Games, the studio that brought you Psychic Trash Detectives, comes a new game by Dustin Patrick Winter. Against the Gloom is about harnessing the power of music, finding chosen family, and building community in the face of the void. Find it now on Kickstarter. Rock on.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Tabletop. You know, sometimes when I'm doing a TTRPG session, my characters do something really cool, but I don't want to give them a reward to kill things with. I want to give them something that is not combat related. And so today, we're talking about non-combat rewards in TTRPGs. These are rewards that are not immediately tied to combat, but before we get into the topic, I'm going to remember to intro my other host. So why don't we start with you this time, since you never go first.
I never ever go first. Yeah. My name's Shade.
So that one time you did.
Yeah, the one time. Shade, yeah.
Okay, cool.
This is Rio, and my favorite non-combat reward is a little kiss on the forehead.
All right, we'll swing over.
I'm Franco, and my favorite non-combat reward is being tucked in at night.
You know what? And because I didn't say, hey, helping you was reward enough.
Aww. I'm Nick,
okay,
and my non-combat reward is sunset holding hands with you. All right, everyone, let's get into non-combat rewards.
How would you hold hands with a sunset?
No, it's a sunset whilst we are holding hands.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whilst.
Whilst. All right, so let's get into this. So we were talking a little bit off mic about this. This is like very much,
Sorry, Mike.
I really appreciate, you know, Mike is really calm about us being on his back like this.
Yeah,
really
when we're on mic, he's very quiet. But
he's
when
so
we're
quiet.
Off mic.
He talks.
Yeah. He talks.
All right. I wish you guys were here to see Mike. He's a great guy.
So if you look at any sort of like TTRPG, like magic items book or rewards book, you're going to see a lot of like treasure stuff for like economic side, but then you also have a lot of like weapons and magical items that can be used in combat. There's some that are out of combat and utility stuff, but people really remember, you know, like the
The Vorpal Sword.
Vorpal Sword. That's like one
that's
of
a combat weapon.
Yeah, I'm saying that's like the classic thing that people remember as like one of the kind of go-to magic items. So how do you go about making sort of a reward structure for your players that does not involve the mechanic of combat at all? That still feels like a real reward that they like.
I'm going to put a little modification on that.
All right.
That doesn't immediately put you in mind of combat, because your players will always surprise you on something they will do with an item.
Yeah.
Like, I would say, for example, in traditional D&D, an immovable rod is not a combat item. I guarantee that it has become a combat item in subtable at some point.
Talk to Franco.
Yeah, you like you put like choke a creature with an immovable rod and then lock it and then walk away.
No, like Franco literally, I think, drowned someone with an immovable rod.
Franco.
He pushed them to the bottom of a body of water and then put an immovable rod on their neck.
That was me.
Oh, that was you.
I was going to say, that does sound familiar. It was...
I would never assume you would do something that.
Franco's eyes are so wide.
That was... it was Hank, and it was the Fire Ganassi.
It was Trusk, the orc.
The orc, the orc Fire Ganassi. And I flew him into the sky because I had... You hated Hank.
still do.
Yeah. He was an Asimar and an asshole. And flew him
into
the sky.
He wasn't an asshole.
No, he wasn't an asshole.
He just had wings.
Yeah, he just had wings. Flew him into the sky, flew him into the water, had the removal rod, hit the bank, and yeah, I trapped him down there. But he lived because that was why I did it.
I'm going to, like, disclaimer, asterisk. The reasons I hated Hank have a lot to do with self-reflection.
Self-reflection.
Self-reflection. Because okay. One of the things I really don't like in literature or film is this comically obtuse idiot character.
Yeah, which was what he was.
Which is what Hank was.
Yeah.
And how Shade would play him is like you would say something that Shade would then intentionally misinterpret.
Yeah.
Which I hated so much.
Sorry.
But it's also something that I constantly do to people.
Yeah.
Myself.
Yeah.
In conversations as a bit. I didn't like seeing it. I didn't like interacting with it. And it probably made me a better person to live through that.
Still sorry.
But no, don't be sorry, Shade. Be aggressive. Be aggressive. Okay. I myself, I have never been wrong about anything. And I feel like you would benefit from that mantra.
Very funny.
Good, yeah. Good to know. So anyway, immovable rod. Yeah, I did forget that.
Oh,
I did that.
We were talking about something else.
So an item that's not immediately a weapon.
Yeah. So it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
one thing is like, is a non-combat reward like an item or is it something else? Is it sort of like a title or like something like that gets them into social encounters?
I gave my players a manor. I gave them
like a manor house.
No, or? Like a man. You know, like in terms of
a peerage. Or?
Yeah, peerage. Okay. They're like manor. They're knights technically.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I gave them that. That was a reward. It was straight out of what was it? Bar crawl. Bar what? Borderland.
Oh, the Return to the Keep on the Borderland.
Yeah. Bar Keep on the Borderlands. by Prismatic Wasteland.
Yeah.
Wonderful product. Spoiler alert for the thing that you get. Oh, no, they tell you at the beginning. That's what you get at the end.
It is really hard to decouple in a D&D setting items away from combat since that game is designed for combat. Because I was just thinking, like, one of the things that I tried to reward people with back in the Gilded Canaries was improvements to the Sidrat, the wagon that carried them all around. But even a lot of those improvements were defense or what if your Sidrat gets attacked? And that was going to be my go-to for this conversation. But I was like, no, I basically made that a combat.
Yeah, it was basically like, oh, you mount like a crossbow to the Sidrat so you can fire off of it and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's lots of things. Like, you go faster. It's more comfortable. You have more room inside because it's a interspatial thing. But I was like, for a lot of those rewards, I thought I was giving them, but I was giving a different means of combat. You just never use the Sidrat in combat too often.
Yeah. I think that it's also really interesting, like, when I in Lakewood gave you sort of like an item, it was a silvered sword because that was something that you used all the time. But its main thing that was the reward was that you didn't have to explain it to NPCs.
Yeah, so that's an interesting thing because like Monster of the Week has I already had the sword.
Yeah,
but
they have tags.
But you can do tags in Monster of the Week. So I do think Monster of the Week again.
It's very weapon heavy.
There is a weapon heavy element to its items, and I love its tag system. That's something I will sing praises. I know other games do it too, but fun, a lot of fun in Monster of the Week.
But it's also a really nice way to just like at like, it's that classic MMO thing where it's like I like the look of my sword. I like the sword that I've had my whole life, and it's like okay, then I'm just gonna give you a new tag on it that makes it more useful.
Yeah, and I think. That, though, was non-combat because it was, at least in some respects, because it was really just about the fact that we're in a modern setting.
Yeah.
We are doing a Buffy-esque game, walking around a sword in the 1990s USA.
Yeah.
Not an immediately cool look. like for most people. Most people will be like, I'm going to call a cop on that pervert real quick.
Yeah, that LARPer.
And, at least, in the setting that we were in. So, that was non-combat in that respect. Yeah. But then on the flip side of that, it is combative because,
it just allows you to be armed for when
you're
in combat. Yeah.
And it's like concealed carry and,
a fantasy kind of setting.
I have been recently watching a new anime.
Okay.
Which one? I'm going to try not to butcher the title. It's called Frieren, Beyond the Journey Back.
Don't know it.
Basically, the setup is like it starts, the interlude is these four heroes have slain the demon king. Mm-hmm. And it's like after the epic quest, you follow this elf who's going to live for another like a few hundred years.
I have.
Yeah. And like the first two episodes.
That's a sad one.
Like
it's
the party
though.
Members kind of die because she forgot to go look at them for like 50 years.
Yeah.
Or some because she's already like 1,000. Time doesn't pass for her the way it does for humans.
Yeah.
But her hobby is collecting interesting spells.
Yeah.
And a non-combat reward would be, I think, like really fun spells because one of the things that she found is a spell that just lets her bloom any flower that she's ever seen.
Mm.
And then one is like she can create – she learned a spell that does shaved ice. Mm-hmm. So she can just make shaved ice as a treat whenever. And it's like if magic exists in your world, magic doesn't have to be fireballs or mind control.
Yeah.
Like you could actually put some like really just fun spells in there that do like really cool things and like could be – or like Gandalf's fireworks in The Hobbit. Lord of the Hobbits.
Lord of the Hobbits.
Where it's like, oh, you have some firecrackers that do a really great thing and you can make everyone so, so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And I'm a big fan of utility items as well. So if you give
belts.
Me – that's right, man. Utility belts. Woo. That way I can carry my batarangs and smoke bombs.
Your shark repellent.
That's right. But no, the
60s, folks. It was a wild time.
Utility abilities, items, something that will give me the ability to speak with insert whatever.
Yeah.
I'm on it immediately. Give it to me now. Reading that language, yes, I want it. I'm always going to take that.
Yeah, one of the things like that.
I'm filtering everything you're saying right now through like a
Adam
sexy
West.
Filter.
Oh,
it's like yeah, give me that. I'll take it anytime.
I thought you were talking about like Adam West just... Batman.
Yes, he said a sexy filter. Letting, like, Adam West Batman.
I'm reading it like shades in a porn, and it's like I can't Woo! Turn this filter off, and I don't know why it turned on, but that's happening in my head right now.
Okay,
but one thing going to what you were saying about utility is also like.
we drive by that. We're not stopping there.
No, we're
this
not.
This is
no
called
one ever
the
has
driveway
to think
segue.
About me in that context.
So here we go. The thing about these kind of utility rewards that I think is interesting is that it also is just reducing the amount of difficulty of the game in some way, like allows you to essentially take forget a mechanic or something like that. Like for me right now in Waterdeep, I have the X-ray ring, which is one of my favorite rewards I've gotten. And I didn't think I was going to really love it at first. I was like, man, everyone got like a dragon fist that like shoots fire out of their fist. That's super cool. And I got like an X-ray ring. What does that mean? And then I was like, I've used every single session since then.
I was going
to
ask.
He's a creepo perv. That's why, guys.
I was going to ask you because I genuinely
Shit's
could not today remember that thing. Where? How did it come
to
you?
I think it was from an Ico.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. It was like a tier 3 reward.
No,
or
it was
like
a tier 2 or tier 1 reward.
Okay, right. Yeah.
And the thing that it was interesting is that a lot of the characters who had like really high tier rewards were very combat oriented because those characters are very combat oriented in the Ico.
It was
I
like Ico 2.
Yeah.
When I at that point of those, I was still really like I was tailoring the rewards
you
for
then.
You. I was still young, but I was tailoring the rewards for each of your characters specifically.
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember putting a lot of thought into why I would give Marks an X-ray ring.
Yeah.
So I have enjoyed you utilizing that.
Yeah, and it was because he's an investigator, so it makes so much sense. Yeah. But like literally, Stephen was the person who like got number one spot or number two spot. It's like I had thrown myself down this pit before them.
Yeah.
To let them
oh,
win.
That's the year I got mad at everyone.
Because we voluntarily left.
You killed me and then you killed yourself.
Yeah.
And I was like, you could have just killed yourselves before you killed me, you fucks.
That's true. That's pretty fucked up.
It was
so
because
right.
It was because Rio was like, we were like, okay, Rio, why don't we like let Sean's character win?
You don't vote for a winner in a battle royale.
Exactly. So then, and Rio was like, no fucking way, I'm going to kill all of you. And we're like, no, we have to make sure that he's able to come back to life. I guess we're killing Rio. And then we, to ensure that Sean would get the first place.
And
so
the arbitrator of the event did nothing to stop the corruption.
Yeah, it was pretty fucked up.
It was pretty fun though.
It really fucked me over too.
Yeah.
Everybody went after me. Because I play a villain.
Were very, very dangerous.
Yeah, I was playing a villain character.
You were a Rakshasa.
Yeah, but you guys.
You had magical claws. We had to stop you.
I didn't get one fucking hit in.
Yeah, because we just threw.
Here's a non-combat reward. I want our friendship back.
No, but the thing about it, though, was like Steven, who got a second place, got like literally like a wand of the war mage or something. And yeah. I was like, that's like a +3 motherfucking weapon. And like he got all this stuff with it, like X-ray ring. I was like, oh, man, I guess Shade couldn't come up with something. And then now I was like,
what do you mean?
X-ray ring is
so good.
Yeah, no, but I didn't realize it at first. And then I was like, oh, man, this non-combat item is super useful. Which is a thing that I kind of want to talk about. It's like, how do you make the value of these rewards known to your players?
But I really, because I want to talk about that too, but I do think we need to couch it in the idea of like the push and pull between completely
separating them.
No, completely removing a challenge. Because you really hit, we try and do outlines for these, and I almost typed a thing that was like problems with doing them. I was like, that's not fair to say. They're not problems.
It is kind of though. Well,
yeah,
if you
it's
have
like,
a,
oh, I gave you, fuck, you just learned Goodberry. Goodbye.
Yeah. Or it's like, or like to your speak with X, like, what if you got like a speak with stone spell, right? And like,
oh,
you, and
man,
then
I'd use that
you can
all the time.
Never do a mystery again because you can be like, okay, I wonder who killed this person. Cobblestone.
Well, yeah, comprehend languages is pretty powerful as well.
Oh, yeah,
identify is very powerful.
Yeah, right.
That's one of those spells that I always am mad at everyone else's interpretation of.
Which one?
Speak with, like speak with animals.
Sure.
Speak with, or I don't think there's a speak with.
I don't think there is. Yeah.
No.
Speak with plants,
like,
though.
If you made it up, yeah.
Speak with plants.
But it's like. Yeah. I always want it to be you speak with animals and it's like you can't ask them, I'm looking for a man in all black. It's like, I'm looking for something, has anything dangerous come?
Yeah.
And you have to speak in this like what my friend would tell me, like high context.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like, oh, was there danger? Was there something weird, something out of like the natural order? And like I've always just viewed it as like a more empathic, emotional exchange. And then when I cast it, in this one game that I'm in,
was it?
I end up getting like a Shakespearean narrator, and I'm like, no, the spell doesn't grant him sentient intelligence.
Let me give a little bit of context to this. So they have this really wonderful little like mascot, which is this little lizard that they saved. And the way I interpreted Speak with Animals is that it gave this lizard sentience and hopes and dreams and he wants to be a poet. And then every time he like loses that power, he goes back into the non-sentient lizard. But he knows when he like whenever he casts it again, he's like, don't send me back to that like that black hole of like non-sentience, please. I have hopes. But I want to make the next great play.
Isn't the target self?
No, it's well, I guess, but in this context, no.
Not the way Nick's interpreted it. I've got a lizard that I'm holding on to desperately because I'm like, I have to find a way to awaken him because I can never cast Speak with Animals again.
You know, I will
but
say.
But it's on you.
This is.
Talk to that one.
It's so funny, though.
The target is self.
Honestly, sorry. I don't care. It's so funny to me because they love this creature. And whenever they cast Speak with Animals, he's like super helpful. He's like, I am like, I'm one of you. I'm an adventurer. Or two, please don't let me go back to being that mind machine.
But the spell has a duration and we can't stop it.
That's some Flowers for Algernon shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's definitely not the way the spell works, but I do love it.
No, that's really fun.
Yeah,
and it's good.
So fun.
And you're right.
Yeah.
You're right that it is good and that you should keep doing it this way. But it is incorrect, rules is right.
Yeah.
And we have to send you to D&D
Rio.
Jail. The Pinkertons are outside.
Rio, you are right as far as like the you know, it is meant to be more of a, so like I think Baldur's Gate 3 does this too, where it honestly, if for anyone who hasn't played the game, it's really fun, blah blah blah. But
blah 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 blah.
See our review in an earlier episode. Shane is a lot more invested in that.
But Speak with Animals is a must in that game. If you don't have it, you're really like
you're playing it wrong.
Right. You have to suck that bear to get to like the next story arc.
It is such a rewarding spell on that game, and they just give it to you for free so easily. So the animals in that are some of the best characters. Like they are really energetic and really fun. And I think that that's how most people play it. But the rules as written in 5e, you know, it's the knowledge and awareness of beasts is limited by their intelligence. At minimum, they can give you information about nearby locations and monsters, including whatever they can perceive or have perceived within the past day, which I think is important because, like, what they can perceive is different from your perception. Like, a dog is not going to see colors the same way you see colors.
We're just
going
to smell that bandit
Correct.
Who loves to eat onions.
Yeah, exactly. You got to think about the other things. But that's all tangentially.
I'm going to talk to this fucking, what's it called? What's the lobster that can see like a million colors or whatever?
Oh.
The mantis shrimp.
Yeah.
Talk to this mantis shrimp.
Yeah. So there are ways to still put hurdles for some of those things. Like, that can sidestep so many issues. But then you can still present like, okay, yes, you have an extra avenue, but you haven't completely stepped over this hurdle.
But yeah, I just think that some, like, going back to the Speak with Stone example, like, that will basically make it so that your players will always know the, you know, like, you can, like you said, kind of couch it like stones don't have eyes, so they just tell you like the type of footfalls it has or whatever.
Oh, that's fun.
I love that.
Really cool. I would do that in art. I'd still want to talk to them.
Yeah. It's like, in my long slumber, I was awakened by vibrations.
Oh man, it's just like the
don't
Raven
send
Tower.
Send me back into the void.
The cold. It just disappears.
The main character in Raven Tower is a big rock.
Oh yeah, that's
so
true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that it is hard to walk that line sometimes with rewarding people, because, like, also going back to the peerage thing,
sure,
like, that could also allow them to basically always win social interactions, you know what I mean, with any commoner, and that's tough.
I almost never take the noble background in, like, a D&D game, because I'm like, if you're a noble, you can kind of, you've already won at life to a very large extent.
But yeah, that's why the only time I played a noble, I was like a disgraced noble.
Yes, exactly.
Or I was Senfi and I was looking for my sister.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I played a noble background one time and it was, I had found out that my family had done something bad and I was on the outs.
There you go.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to present hurdles.
It's a gift. Yeah. You gotta make your own. Yeah. You gotta give your own hurdles to people with privileges.
Yeah. So how do you reward somebody that is just a clean reward without then punishing them on the back end? Because, like, the thing for me with the peerage is like, yeah, you always win, like, your arguments with commoners. You can always get a discount at, like, a thing if you, like, force the issue. But maybe you get pulled into a bunch of, like, noble bureaucracy, like, politics bullshit.
Yeah, because you're a knight, so you're a bannerman.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, then what if your character's like, oh, this fucking sucks. Like, I don't want this. You know what I mean? Like, that becomes, like, a hard thing to balance. Like, how do you reward somebody without, one, making, like, a core facet of the game basically skippable? Or how do you do it without making it feel as though you have, in a way, punished them? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like talking about this on a general level, like we are, is very difficult, because I feel like the rewards that you're talking about that would be the best suited, you would need actual player information.
Yeah.
You need to know,
like,
what
backstory.
What? Yeah. No, not backstory, but like, what does Franco value?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what would Franco
like? So not character, but player.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what rewards could you give in a game that would, like, would really connect with them and make their character feel more alive or more invested?
I was going to say, do we want to play that out real quick?
Yeah.
Oh, let's say that I've got a character. Let's say...
Well, actually, why don't we do this right after this break?
Hi, guys. I'm Matt, and I am half of Roleplay Chat. Roleplay Chat is a podcast and passion project from two game masters who can't stop talking about role-playing games. We talk about games like Dungeons & Dragons, Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay, the Fate Core system, Call of Cthulhu, and many more. In Roleplay Chat, Chris and I take deep dives into tabletop RPG subjects. We touch on topics ranging from something as simple as traps, all the way to abstract concepts like pacing or engagement at your table. Chris and I take you through unscripted chats, showcasing our roleplay strategies, providing you with concrete tools in the aim of improving as a player or as a game master. Our bi-weekly show can be found wherever you podcast. Just look for Roleplay Chat. That's R-O-L-E, Play Chat.
Wow, that Idris Elba gold thing again was really great.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that joke up again.
All right, Shane, right before the break, we were going to talk about playing that scenario out, but I didn't let you get to explain so here we are.
No, I was going
to
say, let's say, I don't know if we want to do this for each of us, but...
RP, let's get some background music in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Here comes the crackle fire.
I've got Sora.
Sure.
Right? Sora is a character. Yeah, I know.
She's a fucking psycho.
She's a psychopath. I know.
She killed a girl.
She murdered that maid.
She did a lot of people.
Nobody found out.
Fuck. All right, let's do 70 instead.
Sora got her reward with a face full of gold.
Brought to you by the Gold Council.
let's say it's 70. So we've got 70. 70 is a druid slash monk.
Slash werewolf.
Slash lawyer.
Shifter is
slash
what
lawyer.
He is. Yeah,
slash
he's a lawyer.
He's a werewolf lawyer.
He's a shifter, a werewolf, more or less. But
he's an ambulance chaser. Oh, woo.
Well, this has been Tabletop. We really appreciate you being here. It's not going to get better than that joke.
Oh,
so,
Tabletop that.
So, you know, he is a character that does have, I would say, not really a monetary appreciation as I intended him.
Sure.
He is a character that has moral obligations. How would you, each of you as DMs, reward this player? Because a lot of the items he received were either cursed or very weapons focused. Not always, but just as an example.
How dare you?
What non-weapon items would we give?
For 70?
Because the three of you know that character.
Well, here's
you know.
The thing that I was going to say again, like, immediate thing that comes to mind is like a ring that allows him to suppress the werewolf curse, right? But that also just takes away something like a mechanic that has been a difficulty in your character, which is just removing something. You know what I mean? It's not additive.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe...
I was going to go the exact opposite direction, and I was going to reward him with like a wolf pack, like near where he stays, where he has like a place where he can go relax and get out of the bureaucracy. It's like, hey, this pack actually looks forward to you, and
his
you can
paralegals.
Go.
Yo, that's great. That's a really good reward, actually. Yeah. No, that's perfect. His paralegal pack.
Oh man,
that's really good.
They all have little like messenger packs. But the thing about that though is like, isn't that going to be used in combat?
Yeah,
having
I guess it
a pack
be.
Of wolves.
Well, okay, but you can set like parameters on.
But
that.
Again, like so, he's hitting with like the immovable rod. Like anything you give your players could be used in combat.
Sure.
But like if you pull these wolves away from their home just so you can attack monsters with them, you're kind of a dick.
Yeah, you're not gonna. They're not gonna
sacrifice themselves for you. You're just part of their pack.
Right.
Right.
I would say like for both of your examples, how I would.
Mine's
you know,
better.
They're both fantastic examples.
Plus
Rio,
one to me.
Rio, we'll start with yours. You know, I would say like, okay, I as a player might say, hey, well, can I summon those wolves real quick? If I were you, Rio, I would then say, you know, okay,
it's
you
not
have
really
to
like
roll.
That.
It's not like that. I could just say that, but maybe I want to, you know, hey, that's a creative thing. You could do it this time, it works out. Or you howl and it doesn't work out. Like I might make it situational. I might even tie a skill to it. Like I have to make a persuasion check at disadvantage or a persuasion check versus their perception. How far away are they? Can they hear me howl to the sky? Mm. You know, things like that. Mm-hmm. I could throw some mechanics in there. For Nyx, which was equally good, and I didn't forget... I didn't forget what it was,
no,
but Nick remind
right.
us.
The ring that suppressed your...
Holy shit.
Oh, it was so forgettable that
shit,
I...
Man, I got God.
Fucking caught his ass. Holy shit. I didn't even submit one.
Man.
I'm not...
Know,
this is a hard...
We're gonna get there.
Man, I'm going to wolf jail.
Right, the ring. I would say, you know, that would be something like... I would tie that into, like, it gives him an advantage... on resisting the change.
Yeah, because like another thing is like as soon as I was kind of pointing out how that would essentially just be removing an obstacle instead of adding something fun, is that I was like, oh, well, maybe it's like something where he could like control his wolf form. But then I'm like, but that is just going to turn into a combat thing, like turning into a wolf and mauling.
Oh, something, you know what's fun? What if the ring had charges and it only recharged when he became a wolf?
Nice. Oh, another really
that
fun.
That is interesting.
That
it
is
has
interesting
speak with wolves on it.
Right, so it'd be like, oh, I can skip my shifting for 3 months if it's a full moon thing, mm-hmm. but on that fourth moon, it's not going to work.
Mm. Yeah,
so it's like, what am I going to? You can start planning ahead. Like, oh, should I turn into a wolf on month 2 or month 3? So I have my charges for these next, and then okay, it stops the change, but it's still something that he has to consider. But it's no longer as dire a consideration as every month I need to be out of town and locked away.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, my idea is. A public defender job.
A public defender job.
I like heavy caseload.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They all did it.
Objection.
I mean, that's very character appropriate. Yeah. I think that's a lot of fun.
Sure.
Did I reward 70 epilogue? Because I made you like the actual like. Administrator for the guild.
Yes.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yes, we gave you that position. You
could
just, you weren't in charge of people. You just got to be in charge of contracts and admin.
Yeah. It was perfect for him. Yeah.
Well, let's kind of do something opposite then. How about you have someone like, I don't know, like Bill or maybe like Nock.
Bill Stabums?
Yeah, Bill Stabums or Nock or a character that is built around in combat. It being a stabber or somebody,
yeah. I gave
chaos or whatever.
I gave Nock a blade that eats undead creatures.
Yeah. So, like, how would you reward some?
Well,
like,
one of the things
like
that I liked rewarding, I rewarded you
a cookbook
with
cookbook for Nock.
And this wasn't like actually for your character or anything, but because I liked how you role played and like the energy you gave to it.
Yeah.
I rewarded you with Wade, a character that was just like you and part of your same family. That put you on your own toes. Because it's like anything that Bill will do, Wade will also do.
Yeah.
And it became like I felt like that was a reward
was
for
like
you
with
the player and not Bill the character.
So this is actually an interesting thing to talk about. Is like, is a non-combat reward saying, I know that you like your play style to include this sort of thing, so I'm just going to center that into more of our sessions. You know what
100%.
I mean?
Yeah, I think a non-combat reward should always encourage creative thinking and role play and engagement with the character itself. And I think Wade's a perfect example, and I think that cookbook for Nock is a really good example too.
You
want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so Nock, you know, he's a gourmand. That was part of his kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's my idea. Cookbook. I submit for the approval of the Midnight Society.
Okay, I like the idea of the cookbook, but also how do you then
use it
that
in combat?
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking freak.
How do you use
make
it in
meals for
non-combat?
But he was constantly making, like you said, making meals for us. He was it was a anchor for his RP.
Yeah.
And I always loved, you know, Steven was so good about jumping in there and saying like,
what's good around here?
You know, what's good around here? We go to the tavern. I get behind the bar and start talking to the chef. You know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a lot of fun.
So, okay, I'm gonna use this as an example because I think it perfectly sums up the tension in non-combat rewards, especially at a table where you have a diverse crew of people liking different types of gameplay and everything. Let's say like a boss is killed and we're doing like a reward thing. Like the boss has like this cookbook that has like was signed by this like gourmand or whatever from ages ago, a first
Borden
edition.
Gamzee.
Borden Gamzee. And it's like a first edition, and Nock's like, wow, that's so cool, that's amazing. And then you know, someone else in the party gets a glove that gets to cast fireball 3 times a day. Then it's like, oh, like how do I make these feel the same? You know what I mean?
Why do they need to feel the same?
They don't have to, but I'm just saying that like because I always want my players to feel like this is so cool and like I like this a lot, and I don't want them to feel like compare and despair sort of thing.
That's something
that the player has to deal with.
Yeah, I can't control that.
You can't solve for that.
Mm. Yeah.
You can't control how people feel. You can only control how you
react.
I mean, that's absolutely true, and I
say that all the time.
I will say, like, if you want to try and put thought and energy towards that, you need to think about.
So I don't like giving gifts.
Oh man, I'm right there with you. But you need to think about like this time, that time. Mm. You know, so this time, this player got the non-combat reward, which on its face may seem less useful, but I guarantee is probably going to be interesting, engaging. useful.
And remembered a lot more often.
Yeah,
than
exactly. Right. Remembered as well than that plus three wand or whatever. Yeah. Next time, the character who got the plus three wand is going to get that non-combat item.
Right.
And the person who got the non-combat item last time is going to get that
They're
going to
get a
sword.
Dirty novel.
But, like, I guess is there a way to make the, instead of it feel like, because then in that way you're kind of inherently valuing them differently. Is there a way to make them feel the same? Like, maybe the cookbook has something in
what
it.
What do you mean?
I don't think that there's a different valuation there. I think it's a different utility.
Sure.
So, like, the plus three is for combat.
Right.
And yes, as a combat, 5e, D&D in general, is a combat system. So there will be a perceived value.
Yeah.
If the player comes to you and says, like, hey, man, you know, Steven got to walk away with that plus two wand,
fucking
and
Steven.
I got a fucking X-ray ring.
Stop handing out plus weapons. They're boring.
It is.
But I would say, hey, I get it. You know, I really put some thought into that. Mm-hmm. Think on it a little bit here. You know, if you want me to go into why I gave your character that, I'll talk with you.
Yeah, I think that for me, the thing that I am, and it's not so much about evaluating more or less, because I agree that it's sort of about more utility than anything else. It's more about, like, how can you center these non-combat items in a mechanical process. It doesn't have to be a benefit, but like a process. So, like, is there some way
how can you or whether you should?
Like, I guess should you, but also
I don't think so.
You don't.
But
think
let's talk about could.
Yeah. Okay. Let's say could you. Yeah.
How could you?
Yeah. Could,
but I
again.
Think how should I think is not useful. I don't know if not everything has to be mechanical.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like things should be able to serve the fiction as much as.
And again,
more
we
than
want
anything,
to roll the
really,
dice yeah. as few times as possible.
Right.
If you want to play that way.
Yeah.
But let's think about playing it. Yeah. What could you do?
Yeah.
How could you make a mechanic?
I was going to say, like, the cookbook gives you a plus two
yes.
or advantage
so every
on
time
performance
or
a persuasion or a if you're using it over dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, you can use the cookbook, like, you have this many charges, like, per whatever, whenever you make a meal for the group. And, you know, it takes you like X amount of count times. I don't know. Fix your wilderness rules because they're shit. But,
yeah.
you know, if let's say you have good, robust wilderness rules
yeah.
and you are, you know, you're cooking for the whole group, then, you know, they all get like
inspiration
an inspiration
or
something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
They all get like some benefit or they all like can ignore some level of exhaustion or fatigue or something
yeah,
if you're playing
if,
Karen
so.
Or whatever.
There's a recipe for chicken noodle soup that removes disease in the cookbook.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so that's a good idea.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's good.
But like,
it could
know,
be like
I
a spell book. Yeah.
It could also be sort of like a thing where you could find recipes around
yeah.
and put it into the cookbook, and then people like start coming up to you and be like,
yeah.
I love, like I made that for my girlfriend, and now she's agreed
you can
to
also
marry
use
me
it,
or whatever.
You can also use it for like, not bartering, but sort of like ingratiating yourself to somebody else, to
yeah.
being like, hey, like, you know, if you want... like, oh, I really want, like, will you give me this, you know, bag of rations or mm-hmm. this sword or whatever? Can I trade you this recipe that's
yeah.
very good? And,
right.
like, you know me, I have the reputation of being, like, a great chef.
So, yeah,
and
I was thinking about,
go.
Like, renown
like
is, like, an interesting
yes, exactly.
reward as well. Yes.
I have a great one. I'm
can't
so excited
this.
About this. All right, so the cookbook is a magical cookbook, and you can put recipes in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But it's connected to other versions of it. And so other chefs that have this book are also putting their recipes in it.
Mm.
So different recipes show up, and you become part of this...
Like a network of chefs?
This network of chefs. And that also gives you,
like a food network?
Adventure hooks
yeah.
and quest items. Because someone puts in, like...
like, help me!
It's like, here's my recipe, and it's like a...
Step one, please help me from this cave. Right. And then you get this recipe, and it's like, not a recipe, it's a call for help.
Me,
and you're
yeah.
like... Which chef? And you have to go look for all the chefs that have this book. And
yeah.
like, that'd be a great little adventure.
I feel
like
if we did
concept.
That, I would want the chef group for the cookbooks thing to be like a really small elite group.
Yeah.
Right. Like, be 4 or 5 copies of this.
So, have
book.
You guys seen Wes Anderson's Grand Budapest
Hotel?
Oh,
and
Hotel?
Then you don't know who has
no.
the
Love
books.
It. Yeah. Because then
yes.
you have the like, it was like the Society of Keys or whatever,
yes.
which are all the maitre d's in all of the big hotels in Europe. And, like, basically, when one needs help, they would just send out the call and it would go across, like, all of Europe until they found the thing that they they needed and then get it back to them so they could all still like maintain a level of service essentially. Yeah. But it could be like that where you're like an elite group of chefs and it's like guys, I have this huge like dinner. I'm preparing a meal for the king, but I need a golden carrot. And then it's like you have that sort of thing of like you can call upon like these people to help and all that kind of stuff.
All right, you're eventually like, oh, there's a golden carrot, but the there's been a dragon in the field, and you're like, I'm an adventurer. I'll go get the golden carrot.
I happen to be an adventurer. The rest of you are all working at restaurants, but I am on the road.
Yeah, so I
that's a good like backstory.
Yeah, I think that like
a background.
It is interesting to attach benefits to other parts of the character creation process, like the background, which basically that is like the informant like feature of like a one of the backgrounds. I forget which one it is.
It's the assassin or bounty hunter, maybe. Yeah,
that you have like a contact in the police force or whatever. Like you could have like a lot of those, which I think is great, and also like features are always fun and things like that too.
Yeah, because remember, like combat is one of the pillars of the game. Social and exploration, the other two. Items can be a social item, a utility item, an exploration item, or a combat item. Like, just I don't think players or you as a DM should be valuing combat items more heavily over social RP and exploration items.
Yeah. I guess like
that
yeah,
should when, word again.
Yeah, because when you get to like,
I'll shoot you in the face. Like
when you get to like exploration or whatever, you could like find, you know, like a magical compass that always points towards your next objective or something like that.
So someone saw Pirates of the Caribbean. Well,
I was gonna say, so one of the things in the Echoes Nights, we are going to have something like that.
Yeah.
Like the quest board is meant to be like, hey, a thing that we haven't gotten yet is going to be like
points to the
kind of like giving us direction. Like here are a few things that
take a quest off the quest board.
Yeah, kind of
and a little light will show up. Thanks, on your heads-up display.
Yeah.
Great.
This goddamn pop-up every time.
Fucking Clippy.
Well, everyone, thank you so much for talking to us, the tabletop crew, about non-combat roles.
We can't
we
hear
hope
you.
It was a rewarding experience.
Been able to hear you
this entire time.
I hope that you liked our conversation. Everyone, if you want us to talk about a specific subject, please send us an email. You can do that by going to tabletoppod.com, heading to the contact sheet, which is on that front page, and just sending us a little question via email. We'll definitely
a little note.
And also, if you want to support the show in a monetary way, head to Patreon. We have an extra episode of content every single month, and that is not including the modules and other random stuff we drop in there periodically. And if you don't have the resources, I understand, man. Why don't you go down in your podcast catcher and rate and like the show? Leave a comment. Tell your friends. It is how we keep this show moving. All right, everyone. We will see you next week with another episode of Tabletopped. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.